The scripture reading this morning is found in Luke 22, 47 to 62. And the title of my thoughts this morning are Two Disciples, Same Lord, Two Different Ends. Why? Go figure. Luke 22, 47 to 62. And you can follow along in the overhead or just listen. And it's Jesus being arrested. Luke picks up the story. And while Jesus was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, you're betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. We know later that that was Peter. Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. And then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you've come with swords and clubs? I mean, every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with him. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them." "Man, I'm not," Peter replied. And about an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him. He's a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And what powerful words these are. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. I was going to introduce this sermon by telling you that I love murder mysteries. I enjoy reading James Patterson's books and Michael Connelly's a writer that I've enjoyed of recent. On television, we've watched old Perry Mason murder mysteries. We've enjoyed Inspector Poirot, not French, but Belgium. He wants to remind you of that. By Agatha Christie. And of late, I've come across a British series called Father Brown. And he's a Catholic priest who has got a mindset to be a good detective. Quite frankly, if I had that many murders going on in my church and community, I think I would move. But apparently each week he has a murder to deal with. But I'm not going to do that. So just ignore what I've just said. What I am going to say is actually something that relates back to my heritage. And I did tell you that Mary Ann found out that I was Dutch, and that was very interesting because she was born in Amsterdam. But there's been another mystery in my family. I never knew the man who fathered me. I met him once, I should say. And he has passed away in 2016 and was French-Canadian. And I did what a number of people have done. About 2 years ago, I did my DNA. And boy, have I come up with a mystery. Because what I expected, I have some Norwegian blood in me on my mother's side, my grandmother's side, and that came out just, yep, the way it should be. I think I'm 17% Norwegian. But I expected French-Canadian, possibly some Métis, because the last name of my father's Carrier. And what I got back at that time was I'm 51% Eastern European. Now, genetically, in order to have that happen, my father had to be 100% Eastern European. But that's not the man I understood or understand to be my father. So it's interesting. Through the DNA, there was some second and third cousins that we connected with, and actually we met them yesterday. There were a couple of sisters who grew up in Ontario. One now lives in Chicago, and one still is in Ontario. And when this gal who's doing research on her side of the family sent me an email the first time, she said, "Can you tell me some of the Polish-Ukrainian names in your family that are you're related to?" Nope. And she has determined and given us now some things to check out. Marianne's just the master of this, but she says that her best understanding is that my Eastern European influence or DNA is actually Polish, Catholic Polish, through one of her great aunts, great uncles, great grandparents. What a mystery. And the mystery continues. Well, we have a mystery here this morning, and I recall when I first sort of pondered this, I thought Judas and Peter. Why did they end up so different? Some of us today feel, and I've heard people say this, you know, if I could have only been with Jesus and walked with him, you know, and been around him in his ministry, I my faith would just be so strong. And just the evidence suggests that's not necessarily true. Judas had some doubts. Not only Judas, we remember Thomas doubted. And even in Matthew at the end, Matthew has a couple of verses that says that the 11 remaining disciples went to a mountain in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go and met with them there just before he went to heaven. And they worshiped him. And some doubted. Why is it that people who are raised in the same or been involved in the same experiences are so different? We know it from church, don't we? Some of us in our families have been raised in a Christian home, and some, as adults, leave the faith. I jokingly say that some of us are raised in a family and turn out to be pretty good people. Not sure about my brother and sister, but that's another story, and that's an absolute joke. But you know what I mean. Well, you're going to help me this morning. First of all, let's look at the experiences together about what they actually walked through together. So what are some things that Peter and Judas shared during the ministry of Christ? What things that they saw or experienced? Let's hear it. And miracles, absolutely. The healing of the woman who had the issue of blood, the 10 lepers, the raising of a little boy, the healing of the raising of Jairus' daughter. Those are raising people from the dead. How about the anything else? You go to the front of the class, Luke. Absolutely. Can you imagine hearing? Sitting there hearing the Sermon on the Mount, the wisdom of Jesus, the banter that Jesus had, and hearing him with his wise answers when he talked to the Herodians and the Pharisees and the chief priests. Remember when they tried to trap him and saying, you know, should we give money to Caesar or not? The brilliance of this man. Judas and Peter, they experienced that. Anything else? Calming the storm, and if with the fishermen that were a part of the disciples, that would be profound. And I love Peter; he's one of my favorite guys. He actually had the nerve to get out and walk on water. But yeah, profound. profound things that they experience. Anything else? What about the exorcisms? Compassion? The disciples saw Jesus exorcise a person who had a legion of demons and saw a whole bunch of pigs run down and get killed. There was even testimony from a demon-possessed man about who Jesus actually was in Capernaum. And a man in the synagogue cried out, the demon cried out, why are you here, Jesus? Have you come to torture us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Judas heard that. Peter heard that. Same experience, same profound experience. I mean, we're actually living and following the Son of God on earth for 3 years. Why the difference? Well, I think there's a key difference as to what happened here. Let me find the scripture, and I'm just going to go through some of the differences that they did have, and one of the ones that stands out to me, and one of the key differences. Well, what are some of the differences just generally? Peter was a part of the inner circle, and Judas was not. Peter saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Christ's glory. Judas was not privy to that. Scripture is very clear that Judas was not a man of character. Early on in some of the Gospels, and he chose Judas, the man who would betray him. A little later on, Judas, who was a thief, he didn't have character. I'd like to suggest that Peter did. I teasingly say he was a blowhard, and I please forgive me for saying this, but it's been my experience. I didn't realize he was Dutch. Please allow me to say that. Growing up, that was my experience with Dutch people before I knew, or Dutch men before I realized I was Dutch. But yeah, it's a long story. But he was a blowhard. He could capture absolute truth, and in the next minute, just blow it. We remember Jesus saying, "Who do people say I am?" And they said this, and then, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter, with that, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow, he nailed it. And Christ said, "You got it. But flesh and blood didn't tell you that. God did. And by the way, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be turned over to the authorities, and I'm going to die." And "No way," Peter said, "absolutely not." And Christ had to say to him, "Depart from me, Satan. You don't have in mind what God has in mind." One moment, he's got it. Then the next moment, he's just like, but what you saw in Peter is one of those persons is what you got. There was nothing, no shadows, no hiddenness about Peter. There was about Judas. But why? Ultimately, why, I'd like to suggest this morning, is the key reason, I should say. Let me just see here. My apologies. There we are. Matthew 27, 1-5 is what I feel is the key difference between Judas and Peter, and it has some implications for us this morning. 27, 1-5. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans to have Jesus executed. And so they bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. And he said this, "I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood." And here's some wonderful religious people in their response. What's that to us? That's your problem. Ouch. So Jesus threw the money into the temple and left. And he went out and hung himself. This is what I see as the reason that there was a difference in the way that Judas wound up and the difference between Peter and where he finished off his life. Notice what Judas says. I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood. Another version says, I've betrayed an innocent man. Notice what he didn't say. He did not say, I've betrayed the Savior, the Messiah. And ultimately, after 3 years of ministry, of walking with Jesus, of seeing him, of being gifted to heal diseases, Jesus sent the disciples out. Through all of that, Judas couldn't quite make that next step of faith to say, yes, Jesus, you are the Messiah, you are my Savior. He was horrified that he had betrayed an innocent man and not the Savior. I love Peter because, you see, what Peter did is he denied that he knew Jesus. You see the difference? This is my emotionality, so please stay with me. I wonder here this morning if perhaps you identify with Judas. There is no God. There is no hope. And life has pressed you in and overwhelmed you, and darkness is there. And God forbid that, like Judas, you're thinking of taking your own life. Sometimes in churches, we never know, do we? Let me suggest that if that's where you are at, a couple, three things. You see, the pain that Judas had didn't end when he took his own life. And it doesn't end when someone does that today. That pain merely is handed off, in this case, to Judas's family and his friends. Could we have done more? How did we miss this? His family, those that loved Judas, his friends, would carry on the rest of their days saying, I miss him. That's what would happen, God forbid, if you decide to do that. The other thing that Judas missed, there was two other things that he lost by that, and they're related, but Judas lost the opportunity that life would ever get better. He did something that's called crystallizing your losses. And it's related to investments. Remember in 2008 when the investment market fell? I know there's some discussion that's going to happen again, but for those people that on paper, their stocks dropped in half in value, when they were so afraid that they sold at that point, they crystallized what they'd lost. They wouldn't have a chance to get that back. That's what Judas did when he took his own life. Judas was suffering, but by taking his own life, he crystallized it and never had from that point on opportunity that life could get better. More importantly, Judas also lost the opportunity that Jesus would have reached out to him and restored him, just like he did with Peter. And knowing Jesus as we do and seeing his passion in his heart, you have to believe, even after denying Jesus and turning him over and having him crucified, Jesus would have loved to have the opportunity to reach out to Judas and say, Judas, I forgive you. Judas, I restore you. not to overstate it, but if that's in your mind at all, please know, those are some of the implications. You lose the chance that life could get better, and you lose opportunity for Jesus to reach out to you. I love Peter. This is the person I identify with the most. He didn't deny that Jesus was his Savior. He denied that he knew him. In the early or the mid-90s, I went through a time of terrible time in my life. I was a church pastor in Saskatchewan, a small community, 450 people, Moss Bank, and I was just living. I just felt so called and so much in sync with who I was called to be. I was becoming the community pastor. There was an ambulance that came to a town. Well, it was only 450 people, so, you know, you'd go see, and you'd follow it in, and you'd minister to people there is what I did. I remember standing on the side of a road during the noon hour, holding on to the father of a son who had just got his driver's license, went out for a car ride during school hours, rolled and killed himself. The buddies with him were fine. It gets around in a community. It was my passion, and I felt so called. But unfortunately, my marriage was in trouble. And in that denomination, you could not be a pastor if you were to go through divorce. So I left the ministry to try to save the marriage. And in the course of the time of leaving ministry to about a year and a half later, my marriage ended. And I went into a depression that was spiritual and emotional, that was horrifically dark. But like Peter, I will say it this way. A lot of the being a Christian, what that represented to me was off the table. But I could never deny Jesus was my Savior. As I look back in my life, I recognize, and even now, that all that I had that was good, and every way I was blessed, it was because of Christ. I mean, I became clinically depressed. I was with psychiatrist help and medication. But Jesus was still my Savior. And that began a process of 2 years to walk out and walk through that. In the midst of that, I think like Judas, you could never have talked to me and convinced me that there was any reality beyond this. No, this was my reality and I had no hope. But like Peter, Jesus came and walked me through it and restored me to faith. Who do you identify with this morning? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. For those who really don't believe that you are God, that there is a God, how hard it must be to face the trials and tribulations of life because it becomes, what's the point? So easily. Lord, if there are any here that are there, I'd ask you to shut the mouth of the lion that is the devil, like you've shut the mouth of the lion for Daniel. Stop the roar. Jesus, we so often as people doubt our faith or doubt the potential of faith. But we never doubt our doubts. Lord, if someone's here facing this dilemma without a sense of really the reality of you, help them to start doubting their doubts. And God, protect them from themselves so that you can walk them through and show them that there is life beyond this, because you are that life. And Lord, perhaps there are some of us who, like Peter, who like me, in the midst of the struggles and the pressures of life, sometimes deny the fact that we know you by our actions and our attitudes. Restore us. Help us to lean back into you and let you bring us back to fellowship fully with you. Indeed, eternity will never be long enough, high enough, wide enough, deep enough, not to feel ashamed of how bad we are. Oh no. But to just be in awe of how good you are. In your name, amen.
Please stand with us.